BBC.
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
Here is Monday's Scott Mills Daily Podcast. He's back. We've got Greg James with us on Real or No Real. A man who took up playing the oboe to impress a girl. I get to meet my new TV hero. And it's the last in the current series of Instant Dragon's Den. Want some investment for your business idea? Let me connect you straight through to Deborah Meaden at home.
Scott Mills.
BBC Radio 1.
Big fan of that.
Yeah.
I actually am. Yeah. I'm into it. Jamie Woon and Sharpness. It's Radio 1's track of the day. Feel so chilled now.
I think it makes me feel cooler. Like, we can see The Office from here as well. And I noticed people's walk was slightly different to that song as they walked through The Office. Do you know what I mean? It was slightly more of a, I don't know. I think it makes you feel cooler.
Who?
Well, I just saw Mel walk past there. She had a different swagger about herself.
What, like more of a sexy walk, you say?
I don't want to say sexy about a colleague. That'd be inappropriate, but I mean,
I think that's ideal if, like, you could put it on if you're with someone special and have a lie down.
Yeah.
Or just on your own, having a lie down with a candle.
Light a candle.
I mean, light a candle. That is Jamie Woon and Sharpness.
BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
I'm Scott Mills. Wow, did you see Dragon's Den last night? I don't know what's up with Deborah Meaden, but she is not happy.
I've heard a lot of good things about last night's Dragon's Den. I haven't seen it yet, though, so no plot spoilers, please.
Great episode, but I don't know, she was just in a bit of a mood.
It's this series, she's really up the sass.
So two builders have entered the den to pitch their quick build flat pack furniture business, but then they kind of forget their own pitch. Now, this silence is so horrible and awkward. So, listen to this. They just kind of lose it halfway through.
I'm guessing it's that folding. It's the folding mechanism, isn't it?
That's the bit that's patterned. So, equal length spacings that allow the unit to fold completely flat.
OK, you will not get a patent on two pieces of wood of equal size that fold.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, she's not really enjoying it at all, is she? Like a straight off, like, dismissal.
Yeah, I mean, you will not get a patent on two pieces of wood of equal size that fold.
You can hear the tone in her voice there. Mm. It's a very different Mrs. Mead this series. Like, before, I think she was always the nice one. Not that she isn't nice in this, but you know what I mean? She's in this one, she's turned into the kind of, I don't know, the real dragon. Again, no offence, Mrs. Mead.
Listen how long the silence is.
Hello, my name is Pelham Vincent.
And I'm David Hall.
We're here to offer you 10% of our business, Foldsmart Limited, in exchange for £150,000.
Yeah. Carry on.
Oh, come on!
Is that it?
No.
Sorry.
There's more.
Imagine if that was the pitch, that was it. That's how you should do it. Say the money.
That must have felt so much longer to them, that silence.
OK, do you know, I hate to be boring. I'm going to have a look at the patent.
No problem.
Because it's not making any sense to me at all. I'm sorry, there's nothing in there that I think I can even leverage for you, so I'm out.
Yeah, that was off.
Yeah, just very, very... No, you see, everything I say, I worry he's going to get back to her. Mm. And I don't mean impatient in...
No, I mean, Mrs. Mead is still her favourite dragon,
yeah,
no doubt.
Absolutely.
OK, so next then, these two entrepreneurs are 12 and 14 years of age. Quite young. Mm. But surely Deborah's not going to give them any trouble, is she?
I'm Kia Ballantyne, and this is my sister Skye. We're here today to ask for £25,000 in return for 10% of our company, Crikey Bikey Limited. We started our company because we really believe that our harness can help teach children how to ride their bikes much quicker.
OK, so they're 12 and 14. Come on, Deborah, be nice.
You actually have a patent?
Yes.
It's patent pending.
OK, it's patent pending. Mm. And all right.
You can just hear her ready to pounce, can't you?
This is incredible.
Having now scrutinised the paperwork, Deborah Meaden's concerned
that the product doesn't have a patentable USP.
The harness already exists. I don't see anything on here that is actually a new invention. I would have thought its chances were absolutely minute.
Oh, thanks, Dan. So in a moment, she's in the right mood at the moment, I'm going to connect one of our listeners to Deborah Meaden's home phone. I have access to Deborah's phone number at home. She's still got a landline. Oh. You contact me, I connect you to the actual dragon with no need to go on the TV show. I can have an answer on your pitch within minutes.
The Scott Mills Daily.
This is Radio 1. Joe in Congleton says maybe Deborah Meaden's getting sassy because people keep ringing her home phone to pitch her ideas. Yeah, it could be that. We did bill this on Friday as the last in the current series of Instant Dragon's Den because I think she's getting annoyed that we just keep putting people through, random people.
Oh, so what are you thinking? Leave it for a while after this?
I think for a while. She's quite busy. OK, let's do Instant Dragon's Den. Hello, Tom.
Hello.
Hello. You know how much we love Deborah Meaden on this show, don't you?
Oh, I absolutely do.
And you love her too?
I love her more than anything.
You've got one chance to impress here on Instant Dragon's Den. I can put you through to Deborah's home phone.
Yes.
But good. Are you ready for it? That's my question to you.
Oh, I'm more than ready, sir. I've been thinking about this idea for years now. This is my time.
Okay. I mean, you've got a plan up together. You know what you're going to say?
I've got a rough idea. I'm just sort of going to let it go, mate. I'm just going to go off the hip.
Okay, right. Well, I feel that you're confident, so I'm ready if you are. I'm calling now.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, I hope your idea's a good one.
Just remember, like, she hasn't got much time, you know, you've got to be fairly quick with these things.
Got to be quick to impress.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. I've got this.
Just get her interested. Here we go.
Yes.
Hello?
Hello there, Deborah. It's Tom. You all right?
I'm really rude, Tom. Tom who?
It's Tom Kelly. I've got an absolute beautiful idea that I just need 2 minutes, and I just need you to have a quick listen.
Not again. Is this Scott Mills?
It may possibly be Scott Mills, but what the idea is it's an idea I've got. We're called Serial Offenders.
Serial Offenders?
Serial Offenders, yeah. My aim is I'm going to do all of the UK festivals, but instead of having like your average day-to-day burger van or butty van, I am going to sell breakfast cereal. About 15 to 20 varieties, like different ones, like ones from overseas. Like, you know, like festivals do tend to be quite multicultural. So I'm just going to sell them.
Okay, and have you done anything about this? Have you been to any festivals?
I've been to a few festivals, yeah. I've been to V Festival, I've been to Leeds Reading.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean personally, have you been to festivals just to have a bit of fun? I meant, have you been to festivals with any cereals or any research?
No, I've done literally no research. I've done research in it to see if it currently exists. And what I found is like a Facebook page from 2011, which I don't think really went anywhere.
Any research on me?
On you?
Yeah.
Not particularly.
No. Did you know that I'm involved in a cereal business?
I did not. So this has worked out beautifully. This has worked out beautifully for us.
Yeah, but that worries me a little bit because you kind of need to know a little bit about your market to know whether or not it's a good idea, and you don't even know that the person you're asking to invest in you is actually got
very
a
true.
Cereal business. Oh, you're agreeing with me.
I agree. Yeah, I probably should have known that you were sort of dealing with cereal. Yeah. But all I know is that the British public love cereal.
Yeah, no, good. They do. Absolutely, they do. Have you got a business plan or anything? Have you?
Not a plan as such. I have thought of an idea of how I can sort of give the cereal out. And I'm thinking Ziploc bags so you can transport it back to your camp.
When did you make this? When did you think of this?
I think it was a couple years ago when I was feeling slightly rough one morning after a night at Leeds Reading.
So you've actually been thinking about this for 2 years?
Oh, yeah.
And have you done any numbers at all?
Well, I've done a quick Google search into bulk buy of cereal, and I know that I can buy four lots of 400-gram boxes for £11, which... I think the average sort of amount you get is about 30 grams. I've got the figures. I've got the margins.
What is your margin?
Well, I buy a box at 11 and I reckon I can sell it all for about £90.
Sorry, a box for 11. Oh, right.
No, okay. It's four boxes. Four boxes of 400 grams for 11 pounds.
You make it, Tom, are you making that up?
I am not making that up. I looked that up on Google yesterday.
Oh, right. Okay. Tom, interestingly, I'm in the cereal business. So actually, I think it's quite a good idea. Brace yourself. Because unfortunately, I don't think you're the person to do it, because you've been thinking about really quite a simple idea for about 2 years. And you've done nothing with it yet. And I have to believe that you're really going to go for it if I'm going to invest in you. You sound lovely. I'm sure we can go down and have a drink at the pub, but I won't be investing, Tom. I'm really sorry.
No worries.
Let me say it. I'm out.
Oh, God. Wow.
Oh. Wow, it's tough out there, isn't it, Tom?
Oh, she's a tough cookie, isn't she?
Oof. Wow.
I would have given her free cereal as well. But
she can get free cereal. She's already involved with cereal. She's the queen of cereal.
No, well, I did not know this.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing.
Did you know that? I vaguely remembered that, mate. That's the thing. As soon as you said your business, I was like, hang on a minute.
No.
But then I thought it was good, because I thought, do you know what? You've found the perfect dragon here.
Well, no. When she said she was included in it, I was like, well, this is perfect. Like, no. I get cheap cereal, but...
It went wrong, because she was like, well, if you'd done any research on me, you'd know that I was already involved in cereal. It couldn't have gone worse, to be honest, Tom.
I did a cheeky Wikipedia yesterday, but nothing like cereal came up. So.
No, I'm so sorry.
I need to Google stronger next time.
She did like you, though.
That's always a bonus.
Yeah, she just didn't like that you hadn't got round to doing anything about your idea yet.
Well, at least she said it's good.
Yeah. What investment were you looking for out of interest?
I was hoping she didn't ask me for figures, because I just need a truck and some cereal. So
right. Would have gone. I'm glad that she didn't ask you, because that would have been absolutely horrendous to listen to.
it would have been an exciting period. Yeah.
Okay. Well, no investment there, but maybe next time.
No worries, bud. I'll speak to you soon.
Okay. Love you. Bye.
Love you, bye.
I'm out. The Scott Mills Daily. Jim says on Twitter, cereal at festivals, best idea ever. But then loads of people saying that it's already been done, and that there is at some festivals, like, cereal stands now.
I really liked him, but I felt he was underprepared for a dragon. As Emily put on Twitter, the line, I've done literally no research, is not the best way to win Deborah Mead. No,
that's not going to happen, is it? But... if you'll be part of Instant Dragon's Den in the future, we will do another series at some point. I think it's probably best to leave her alone for now.
Well, what would be good is, I imagine she has a holiday home somewhere nice, right? If you could find out that number, that might be a nice way to do it, you know, when she's abroad somewhere. Might add something to it. Hello, Mrs. Mead, we've got your holiday home number.
Sorry to bother you on holiday, Mrs. Mead. Josh in Devon says... just had a Google of Deborah, had no idea she was that big time. She is big time. You've got all the monies. Mel and Aaron are on their way back to Carmarthen after a weekend of passing at a festival. They said they saw no cereal while they were there. I think some do and some don't have it, but let's leave Mrs. Meaden alone for a while now. I think it will get a second series, though.
Yeah, absolutely. The Scott Mills
Daily. I had the best day yesterday.
I'm so jealous of you for doing this, by the way. So jealous.
I was recording an episode of The Chase yesterday afternoon. I don't know when it's going to be on. I think before Christmas. And, what an incredible day.
What an amazing thing to do.
And I'm obviously not allowed to say how well we did. But let's just say this, I'm not, you know, you could walk away with those things and you could feel like that you've really let yourself down.
Mm.
I feel that I can hold my head high.
Okay.
I wasn't as bad as some of the people I've seen on the show who don't get any right.
Yeah.
But I think I played it kind of safe, but I think I did okay.
Okay, so it was you and some other people. Are you allowed to say their names or not? Other celebrities, right?
Yep, yep, yep. So it was me and Sinetra from Casualty.
Your old Strictly buddy, that?
Yeah, and Johnny Ball.
Legend.
And Ledge, and Anthony Ogogo, who's the boxer who's on Strictly, and that was our team. And
So kind of a good mix of knowledge there.
Terrifying to go on, though. Terrifying.
Yeah, sure.
And I did get to meet my new favourite person, the governess, Anne Hegarty. Now, we've talked about her for a while. She's one of the chasers.
So Was that your chaser?
Well, I can't say that because they record more than one episode in a day.
Okay, so all the chasers are there.
Yeah.
But she's just amazing, isn't she? So you got a chance to meet her.
Well, I met her after I'd finished recording the show. Oh. And I went up to her and she went, oh, here he is. And I went, all right, Frosty Knickers.
Yes, well, that's one of her nicknames, of course.
Yeah, it is.
I'm such a massive fan of that show. Her other nickname is, of course, the Governess.
Mm-hmm. Icy Pants.
So who else did you see? I mean, I've all the chasers there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what a fan I am. I know all their nicknames.
Yeah.
The Beast.
Yeah.
The Dark Destroyer.
Yeah.
The Governess.
Yeah.
Cinnamon.
Cinnamon.
And the Vixen.
I had a good chat with her and got a selfie afterwards.
Of course she did.
And I was like, would you come on our show and play Inuna Bingo? She's like, well, you said you were going to get in touch with me a few months ago and then it all went quiet. And I was like, all right, Anne. And I was like, okay, well, I'll take your number again. So I've got the governess's number.
Absolutely.
She got out this old school phone, like a phone that we probably would have had 10, 15 years ago. It looked like it would bounce, like it was made of rubber.
Mm.
Remember those? Like, well, did throw them across the room.
Is that what she did to you? She threw a phone at you?
No, she didn't throw a phone at me.
But she reminds me a little bit of the character, the Trunchbull. Do you remember that? Like, no, I mean, with the utmost respect, it's...
There was a question about Miss Piggy at one point.
Was there?
And she was like, I can see similarities between her and myself.
Oh, I see.
I mean, she will send herself up. But we're trying to get Hegarty on Inuna Bingo. If you don't know the chase, then you don't know what I'm talking about. But she is amazing. You know, like, I think she's like the number one quizzer in the world. They have these championships and she just wins them all. I think all of the chasers are like expert quizzers. They just take part in these quiz championships.
Yeah, she
all
is.
The time.
Well, I've got her qualifications here. She holds the rank of grandmaster in the UK quiz ratings, which I assume means she is the very best at quizzes. Do you know what would be amazing? Get her to a pub quiz. That would be the absolute dream.
Absolute. Frosty Knickers would smash it, wouldn't she? Anyway, so that's the dream. Hegarty on Bingo.
I'm so jealous that you got to meet her, but you're saying Bingo might be happening now.
I was like, shall we email you or text you? She was like, no, call me.
And she's
good. One of the few people that still likes to be actually having a phone conversation.
Sure, she's good to do it on her own. She doesn't need the Dark Destroyer there.
No, she doesn't.
Or the Beast.
No, she's quite self-sufficient.
Or the Vixen.
You just like the names.
I love that. I'm fascinated by the nicknames.
What is it with me and dominant women? I love dominant women.
Right.
Don't I?
Yes.
Like, women that terrify me, I'm obsessed by them. You know this.
I know. Yes.
BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Jess in London thinks that I've got fake numbered by the governess from The Chase.
Yeah.
She says that probably wasn't her current phone.
I think it
did have an aerial on it.
Who? Did you see her?
Just pause up an aerial to get a signal.
So what's the situation here? She got your number, have you got her number?
I've got hers, apparently.
And you didn't think to give her a call at the time, just to make sure?
Well, that's embarrassing, isn't it? Oh, all right, the governess, I'll just call you now, and then it doesn't ring. Awkward.
You don't think you'll ever get given a fake number, do you? This is what everyone else does. People like me, we make sure you get the right number.
I believe her. The Vixen has just tweeted me.
No way.
So is she the new chaser?
Yeah, she's the new one. She's the one everyone's talking about.
She says, she's quite sexy, I think. She says, I'm quizzing with Frosty Knickers this evening. Space on the team if you can get to Bolton. Oh, I wish. Imagine being on a pub quiz with those two.
Incredible.
Wow.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Hello.
Hi, Scott. It's Kevin.
Hey, Kevin. What's going on?
Well, I was listening to your show on Friday and you were talking about ridiculous lengths that people have gone to impress girls.
This got a ridiculous reaction on Friday.
So what happened? I wasn't here on Friday. I saw a lot about these stories on Twitter, but I wasn't actually listening at the time.
You know when you're really trying to impress somebody that you fancy?
Yeah.
And you'll just do absolutely anything to try and get with them?
Yeah, and also you say things that at the time make you look good, but if you do end up going out with them for the long run, you are going to get found out.
Yeah.
On a personal level here, I was slightly embarrassed about the fact that I was living with my parents. So at the time, I said, oh, it's all good. I've got my own place. It's lovely. It's a proper nice place. I was living at my parents' still, which is nothing wrong with that.
No.
But at the time, I just wanted to give the best representation of myself possible.
We spoke to a guy who started playing American football at university because the girl he really liked was a cheerleader. And he just thought, well, how can I get into all their social meetings? I'm going to join.
That's brilliant.
Then he forked out 200 quid to get into the team. And then in his first game, ended up damaging his knee ligament and spending 2 months on crutches.
All to try and impress someone.
Yeah. And actually, because he was on crutches, he couldn't really go out to the socials. So ended up seeing her less than he normally would. She ended up going out with a quarterback.
Oh, no.
Like I said, what a cliche.
Well, it went really wrong.
Kevin, what have you got?
Well, back when I was doing my GCSEs, I had to take up a second instrument for music. And I quite fancied the girl that played oboe in the concert band. So I thought, how to start a conversation.
It's true. Girls that play oboes fit. Can this also lead on to a conversation about what instruments are not fit to play?
Interesting one, because you're bound to insult a large amount of people here if you say, for example,
tuba
is, how funny you thought that.
Yeah, not hot.
Is maybe not the sexiest of instruments.
Tuba players, But you were all about the oboe, weren't you?
Yeah, so I bought myself an oboe to start conversation. You know,
So you bought an oboe just so you could talk to a girl?
Yeah, just, you know, icebreaker, like, oh, you play the oboe? I've just taken up the oboe. So rather than just, you know, say, hi, my name's Kev, I thought I'd go out and actually buy the instrument that she played so we had something in common.
And how much did that set you back, Kev?
If I've got, I think it's £235.
Oh,
so
wow.
When you're 16, yeah.
When you're 16, yeah.
Yeah, but I bought it, and that's one thing. But then I realised I can't actually play it. So then I had to arrange to have oboe lessons. And I had them for about 6 months, and they weren't cheap themselves either.
No.
But the trick did work. It did tell her. And then we went out on a couple of dates. So I broke the ice. But for one reason or another, it actually didn't work out. No. But then I stuck with this oboe. So kind of sort on my feet a little bit and sold it to her instead.
Incredible.
Whoa. How much do you reckon you forked out on this girl just to try and win her affections?
I'd say somewhere in the region of £500.
500, okay, good. But you did claim some of it back because when it didn't work out, you sold your oboe to her.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I sold it for about £200. So still came out of pocket, but yeah.
But hang on, when she bought the oboe, why did you say you were selling it?
I just said I wasn't really getting on with it. It wasn't an instrument for me. It was, you know, too hard. I'm going to take up another one.
Have you done anything since? I mean, it didn't work out with her. Did you then go for the, I don't know, the cello player?
No, not very much. I decided to take up an easier instrument, bass, and join a band. So I thought girls like people in rock bands a lot better than they like guys.
And how's that working out for you, being in a band?
Yeah, it's all right. Yeah, not too bad.
What do you play?
I play the bass guitar.
Oh, yeah, hot.
You are seeming to suggest that you do everything to basically try and impress other people rather than just, like, entertain yourself.
Yeah, nail on the head pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Two words for you, jazz flute.
That's it. You reckon?
Absolutely.
Jazz flute, I'll look into it, mate.
Okay,
I'll look into
good.
It.
That'll be your next one, I think.
Fantastic. If I do take any further, I'll call back and give you a little...
You know that I like it when people get in touch, just email me.
Yeah, well done, mate.
Scott.mills at bbc.co.uk. Slap of the bass. Yeah. Love you, bye.
Love you, bye. The Scott Mills Daily.
I don't know what's happening at the beginning of that song. I still don't know. Ta, 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 ta. Rita Ora, Chris Brown, Body on Me. This is Scott Mills. I told you, those people wanting to know if their instruments are fit or not. Tuba players. Generally old, says Lizzie from Cambridgeshire. My boyfriend recently started playing the tuba. I play soprano cornet in a band, and all of our current tuba players are quite old. Not a sexy instrument at all. I totally agree with you, even though my boyfriend now does play the tuba. Mark's been on wanting to know if trumpet players have got it. Trumpet? What are we saying?
Trumpet, yes. I'm thinking so. Aren't you?
Let me have a think. Trumpet. Yeah. Definitely.
Is that a trumpet? Is that definitely a trumpet? You play that sometimes and I think to myself, interesting horn. Because it doesn't sound to me, that sounds too quick for a trumpet to me.
What about trombone? No. Drums? Mark's been on going, are drums sexy or what? On the subject of fit instruments, not those massive orchestra drums, just normal drums off of bands. Matt from Chester. Absolutely. Yeah.
What are you saying about Spanish guitar? random, but it does scramble the brain, that one, doesn't it? Do you know what I mean? Nice Spanish guitar. But by Spanish guitar,
is it bad that I don't know what that is?
Well, what I'm picturing in my head is, you know, like a classical guitar, but you hold it at an angle. You know what I mean? So it's sort
of a flamenco.
Yeah, so it's kind of pointing towards the sky, and you have one leg really high.
Oh, yeah.
Spanish guitar.
Really? Just one leg really high. Yeah, I think hot. The Scott Mills Daily. Rosie Newcastle says, double bass. I've known both hot and not people who play it. I'm so confused. Michelle says, accordion, not accordion players. No, no, no. Hey, listen, we've got something new for you on BBC iPlayer now. It's the number one show. Search for number one show on BBC iPlayer. New videos from Miley Cyrus and Taylor Swift, also Kristen Stewart and Jesse Eisenberg, and the number one in music, movies, film, gaming and entertainment. The number one show with Kel Spellman. Get it now on BBC iPlayer.
BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
I've got Fear of Summer Ending.
I know.
Which is not a nice feeling. It just, I've really enjoyed this summer.
FOSE, that's what you've got.
FOSE.
Yeah, FOSE. I know what you mean, because it's going to get pretty dark and pretty cold pretty soon, isn't it?
And it feels like there's been a change. Like, the last couple of days, I'd say it feels like there's a change in the air. Changes are coming.
No, actually wrong, because this week it's going to be hot again.
Generally everywhere? Or?
Not everywhere, obviously.
Like,
why would we ever be able to have a weather in a smaller country as this that would be the same for everyone?
Imagine. Just imagine.
So no, but like Wednesday, Thursday, it's going to be all right for some people. And that's your summer done. Look forward to 2016.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Who's back?
It's Greg James.
Hello.
Hey, can't who me?
2 weeks, love.
Is that what it is? After 2 weeks, you're who?
Yeah, I got roundly hooed last time I was off for 2 weeks.
This is never
going holiday for that long.
Very fickle industry.
Isn't it? Tease. 1 minute you're the cock of the north or something, and the next minute you're the... I don't know what the phrase
is. Cock of the walk, isn't it?
Cock of the walk, that's it. Not the north.
One week you're cock of the walk, next week you're cock o' van.
That's it. That's... No, it's not. Anyway, how was your break?
Very good. I feel like we've got a lot to catch up on.
Yeah.
So much has happened. Why do people always leave when I'm on holiday?
Who's left now?
Sarah Jane Crawford's announced she's going to leave.
Yeah, one extra. She's off of one extra going to LA.
Everyone leaves. Mm.
Should we just go to LA for lols?
What? Just for a holiday?
No. I'm leaving for LA because it's quite good. It's quite dramatic. I like it.
Well, I'm going to LA.
Yeah, it sounds really impressive, right?
I don't think the bright lights of LA are suited to someone like myself.
No.
Do you know what I mean? I don't think I'd fit in.
No, I don't think it's for you, really.
Give it a month and you'd be on the green juices, you'd be wearing a black cap, yeah. You'd be all sorts.
On the egg white omelettes.
Big sunglasses.
I've missed you.
Oh.
I mean that quite sincerely as well. It's nice having you back.
It's nice to have one of the family back in. Yeah.
I saw an amazing photo of you two. I've been keeping up with what's going on.
Oh, God, where?
I've been keeping abreast of things. You were at a festival. It was amazing. Not like you were headlining Glastonbury.
Yeah, it wasn't like that, but it was good. Bingley Music Live.
Glastonbury started somewhere.
Yeah, no. I mean, eventually it will be that big. It was fun.
We were there DJing at the weekend.
It looked huge.
Yeah, it was massive.
It was really... It was when you were in there, it was great. It was difficult to get into.
That was brilliant.
At the start.
You know, we haven't done this today yet.
No.
So we got there, the car pulls up. It's like a 4-hour drive, but you know, it was having a great time, weren't we? And we get there, and the lady goes, first of all, he goes, we've got Scott Mills in the car. She goes, who? Who? Who's that?
Yeah.
And then she was like, what band are you in?
Yeah.
I'm not in a band. I'm just playing songs.
She couldn't get
her
head around that. So then...
Are you in Embrace? No. Are you in Ash? No.
Well, are you... Who was Ash and Embrace were there?
Yeah.
Who else?
And
are you in Super Furry Animals? No.
Were they there?
Are you Ellie Eyre?
Are you Ellie Eyre? I was like, no.
Was she there?
Yes.
This is a great lineup.
And I said, no, listen, we're DJing in between Scott Mills, Chris Stark... What band you in?
She couldn't get her head around the fact that we weren't in a band. Well, who are you then? Radio 1? No, well, I don't know. You're not on this list.
All sorts of drama. But when in...
Amazing.
Really good fun.
Yeah.
Who?
Your name was literally on the flyer.
Yeah.
And you weren't allowed in.
Not on list.
I did show that. She wasn't having it. But it was
brilliant. Did you bring a flyer with you?
It's brilliant. What?
Should have shown her some of your DJ
photo
cards.
Look, I'm on the flyer, love.
Google me.
And now it's time for Real or No Real. It's good to have Greg back today.
The video to Rebecca Black's
Whoa, who's this?
It's Ben Mundy off the news.
Everything changes when I go away. I don't like change.
No, it's only temporary.
The video to Rebecca Black's Friday has been watched more times than there have been actual Fridays in recorded history.
Oh, good fact.
So, Friday by Rebecca Black. I think we all remember it.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday.
Has the video for this now been watched more times than there have been actual Fridays in recorded history?
This is like one of those questions on Million Pound Drop.
Yeah.
I hate this style of questions.
I try and do the maths with it in my head.
carry the five, two,
tens are twos, a twos are fives.
twos are five, a five, there's your change.
I'd love that in Greg's. They go, twos are twos, tens are change.
What is that?
Tens are fives, are fives, are twos, are twos.
Ten going in! Ten going in!
But I don't understand that when they count out your change.
I never. They do it so quickly as well, and also in a way.
Twos, twos, fives, 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 tens, change your change. What do you mean?
I don't know.
Run that by me again?
Say again. So, is this true?
I think it's probably true. Someone's bothered to try and work that out, so they must have done it for a reason.
That song, although awful, has been viewed millions of times. Millions. Yeah. Have that, there been millions of Fridays? There must have been. So I this is so, it's tight. That's what I reckon. I'm saying no real.
It's going to be a close run thing. I'm going to say real.
That one is real.
Yes, it is real.
Very high, isn't he, Ben?
Yes, he is.
Shrill.
Someone on the team has worked out that there have been about 450,000 Bloody Fridays since the start of recorded history. Rebecca Black has 83 million views, so she's way in front.
By the way, you hooed me after a tweet holiday, but no one hooed in Bloody Friday.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
That needs to be massively hooed.
And next.
All brought back.
All brought back. No, really, I don't have the lung capacity anymore. And next.
Kent rock duo Slaves go back to their hometown every Thursday to host their local pub quiz.
So they're in the live lounge tomorrow with Clara. Sadly, Laurie's goldfish died while you're away. That's another thing that happened.
I told you, people always leave.
From the band.
People always leave.
Well, no, the goldfish died.
Well, he's left the earth.
Yeah, okay. So do Slaves go back to their hometown every Thursday to host their local pub quiz? I like that, giving something back.
Well, so did they used to host the pub quiz before they started becoming massively successful? Is that probably the theory here?
I think so.
Well, they are a brilliant double act. They are very, very funny.
They are funny.
And I think that they would be, they're probably the new Ant and Dec in waiting. Give it like 10 years. That's true. The music
live
career.
Tomorrow, I'm looking forward to you telling them that.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's a longevity, that is.
It's not. Well, no, I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
Long
it's
career.
Just, right now, that doesn't seem like the career path that they're angling
well,
at.
Well, I'm sure
it
didn't seem like that with PJ and Duncan at the time.
No.
Did it not?
Probably not.
PJ and Duncan didn't think they were going to be hosting the Brits one day.
No.
You got to think ahead.
No, I hear you. Right.
As we said at the start of this conversation, it's a fickle industry.
They would be awesome, actually.
I think their music's a bit better than PJ's and Duncan's was, just saying.
Fewer number ones.
Do they go back to host their local pub quiz, though, Greg?
Definitely. They're amazing. They'd be great at that. And I think their feet are firmly on the ground.
I think they're too busy. So no real.
That one is no real.
Nope, but they are in the live lounge tomorrow.
Huh. Doing a pub quiz.
It's Ben on helium.
He's very much like Monica from Friends. Very shrill, isn't he?
And finally,
the domestic cat flap was invented by Sir Isaac Newton.
Domestic.
Is he trying to put on a voice for this?
Stop it.
What?
He's one of our finest newsreaders.
Hello.
I didn't say he wasn't. I think he's great. I love the work of Ben Mundy. I like
the
all
domestic
the
cat flap was invented by Sir Isaac Newton.
I also like it when he's on BBC Three.
Oh, yeah.
Doing the 60 seconds.
Up next, Family Guy.
There's another one on there that's awful. Have you seen him?
What?
Awful.
What do you mean?
He may work here.
What does he?
Well, let's move it along.
Do you want to name names? No.
It's
okay.
Like the worst.
Right.
Okay, cool.
Move along.
So the domestic cat flap was invented by Sir Isaac Newton. So he changed the way that we understand the universe, discovered gravity, but also did he discover the cat flap?
It's like, I want to get my cat in, but I don't want to keep opening the door. Do you know what I mean? That is genius, though, cat flap.
And when I drop it out of this tree, it falls down.
That's gravity there, but my cat needs to get in.
Do you think? I think if he had two discoveries, I hope that he started with the cat flap and then went, oh, also I've found this single gravity.
So did gravity. So
if he did cat flap after gravity,
right.
People were like, shut up, mate.
You're right.
You did gravity yesterday.
I've created the cat flap. Now listen to me when I say this thing is gravity.
Yeah. I like the cat flap, though.
Mm. Mm.
So gravity and the cat flap, are they created from the same genius mind?
Isaac Newton on Dragon's Den would be immense, wouldn't it?
Well, I've discovered gravity.
Now, my cat needs to get in the house. I would like £100,000, please, for 25% of my business cat flap.
And then imagine what an idiot you'd be if you were like, I'm out.
Yeah.
It's just a small door. Stupid. Yeah. It'll never catch on.
It's been done before.
It's a small a door that opens both ways.
It's a hole in the... A hole in the door. You're not going to get a patent for a hole in the door.
That's probably no real.
I think no real.
So you're saying the domestic cat flap was not invented by Isaac Newton?
Yes. Hmm.
Greg thinks no real also.
No real.
That one is real.
Whoa.
Yes. Now that's a fact that blows your mind, right? He had a... No?
Well, sort of.
Isaac Newton
did the cat flap.
Cat flap, think about it.
Yeah, but he also did, you know, he discovered gravity. So, yes, I should hope he did invent something else.
What else did he do? Did he cat's eyes on the road?
No, I think that was someone else.
Was it?
Yeah.
He had a pet cat, so he cut a hole in the door. That's all you need to know. And at the end of that round of real or no real?
Oh, so he did invent the actual flapping movement
of
the
door. Yes, he
did, yes. Yeah. 10 points each.
Okay.
Straw. Terrible.
Good to have you back, Gregory.
Terrible. Nice to be back. The Scott Mills Daily.
Those are all of your Monday best bits. We're back on tomorrow at 1 o'clock and playing innuendo bingo at 1:45. It's Greg James. Scott Mills, BBC Radio.